Nuestro curso de inglés por videoconferencia es la opción perfecta para perfeccionar tu inglés en poco tiempo y sin perder tiempo en incómodos desplazamientos. 100% online, por videoconferencia, desde cualquier lugar. Grupos de 6 personas como máximo. Horario de mañana o tarde. Prueba de nivel gratuita. ¿Qué más quieres? Nosotros no podemos darte más facilidades. Ahora te toca a ti. Entra en grupobaugan.com e infórmate sobre nuestro curso de inglés por videoconferencia. Pásate a vernos a la tienda de Vaughan. Sí, ya está abierta. Ven y nosotros te asesoraremos con el material que te pueda ayudar a mejorar tu inglés. Con libros especializados en speaking, listening, grammar, vocabulary. Si quieres, te podemos hacer directamente un plan de estudio para que lo puedas hacer en tu casa. Y mejorar esas pequeñas cositas del inglés que tanto te cuestan con los mejores libros de enseñanza de inglés del mercado. No, no exageramos. Tenemos los mejores libros. Ven a comprobarlo a la tienda de Vaughan. Estamos en Madrid, en la calle Orense 75, esquina con Sor Ángela de la Cruz. De lunes a jueves de 10 a 6 y media y los viernes hasta las 5 y media. Y si vives fuera de Madrid o prefieres contactar con nosotros por teléfono, llámanos al 91-445-5844. La tienda Vaughan. Te asesoramos en lo que necesites.
Sí, dígame.
Ahora tu profesor Vaughan desde tu casa, la oficina. Tu profesor Vaughan en clases telefónicas. Ahora más fácil y cómodo. Consigue uno de los 3 planes de formación en grupovaughan.com/clases-telefónicas.
Don Quijote y Sancho Panza. Cleopatra y Marco Antonio. Adán y Eva. Romeo y Julieta. Vaughan y Disney. ¿Eh?
Sí, ya lo has oído. Vaughan y Disney siguen colaborando para que tus hijos aprendan inglés mientras se divierten. La magia de Disney con la calidad de Vaughan. Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate. Si tienes alguna duda o necesitas información sobre cualquiera de nuestros cursos, llámanos al 91-133-5833. Repito, 91-133-5833.
Everybody. All right. Welcome back to the Drive Time Show. Thank you for joining me. And we're live. We're live on Twitch as well today for all you Twitchers, for all you Twitch users. Harold has a question. He says, affect and effect. So A-F-F-E-C-T and E-F-F-E-C-T, are they pronounced the same way? Affect. Effect. Basically. Some people might say effect. The effect. Affect. Essentially the same, I will say. Essentially the same. Close enough that different native English speakers, their range of pronunciation could be such that the difference is fairly insignificant. I'll put it that way. Now, I think we have another question that came in audio format as well, Tino. Why don't we hear that one?
Hello, Kyle. How are you? I hope you are really fine. As always, okay. I have a fantastic question for you. I'm Maria Rosario. Okay. I don't know exactly what does it mean, two words. Provide an offer. So, this is my question. Have a nice day. Take care. Cuídate, Kyle, que en Madrid están subiendo los contagios a lo bestia. Bueno, have a nice day, and don't touch that light. See you, bye, see you, and take care as well. Take care, bye.
What was it, Tino? Provide, and what was the other one? Maybe I need to hear it again. I got so carried away there. Request and provide. Just put it on again, Tino. Put it on again, if you don't mind, for the first few seconds.
Hello, Kyle. How are you? I hope you are super, really fine, as always. Okay. I have a fantastic question for you. I'm Maria Rosario.
Yeah, that's our friend Maria Rosario. She said, yeah, provide an offer, excuse me. Although she wrote in, I'll admit, she wrote in the other day, yesterday, so I think I already answered this one. But to offer, ofrecer, and then to provide would be suministrar. So to provide, offer would be, hey, if you want this, like if I show up to the studio and I say, hey, Tino, ¿quieres helado? I offer him some ice cream, but I may or may not provide him with ice cream. It depends if he chooses to accept it. If he doesn't accept it, then I have not successfully provided him with the ice cream. Right? But I've offered. It means I've said, hey, si quieres, te lo doy. That's to offer, ofrecer. But to provide means I've successfully delivered it. Okay? So that one. But I think that one was a little bit different. I think that one was already covered. Let's talk about... Oh, boy, we got Juan Manuel with a question here. This one came in my Facebook group. It's called English with Kyle. We were streaming live there as well earlier. So if you want to join the fun, you can check in on the Facebook group. It's called English with Kyle. Juan Manuel says, hi, Kyle. I would like to ask you for can and could. I think he means what the difference is between can and could. I think the rule is that can is for present and could for future tenses. No, not really. Could would be a past form. So anytime you use a subjunctive, for example, where you have to go back into a past form, like reported speech, I can be there tomorrow. Kyle said he could be there the following day. Can would go back to could. Okay, that's a technical difference, but a real difference is a real life street difference, real English difference, is that could is used to imply a smaller or less or lower degree of certainty, of probability of occurrence. Okay? It's kind of like may and my... Well, actually, I think I'm confusing it here with may and might. Really, it may rain. It might rain, but I doubt it. Might would be for a smaller occurrence. But the same sort of thing with can and could. It could happen, but I doubt it. It can happen. Be careful. So it's the same sort of thing. But yeah, could, generally speaking, would be used with reported speech. So when we're going back a step in tense, can would go to could. But also with a smaller occurrence of possibility. In cases where you may use one or the other, could happen. You could get injured, but I doubt it. You can get injured if you do this, so be careful. Can might be a more, I'm not going to say optimistic, but a more generous assessment of likelihood, let's say. Okay? And could would be anytime we have to go back in tense, such as with a subjunctive form. Okay, let's move on, everybody, and get into some vocabulary. How about that? Today's Drive Time Vocabulary. A bit of vocabulary music today. Bit of vocabulary music. It gets me in the mood for vocabulary. You know who else is in the mood for vocabulary? Tino.
Yeah! Thank you.
Tino, are you in the mood for some vocabulary today?
Yes, I am.
Excellent. I like the tunes. That's good.
Yep.
Now, Tino, today it's time to talk about plants and bushes. Are you ready?
Yeah. I am.
Las plantas, arbustos, y más. And trees as well. Trees. Hmm? Now, if you have a tree, you have what they call the tronco. Do you know what this is called?
Tronco.
As in, ¿qué pasa tronco? That's what it
is. I think it's something like trunk.
Yeah, exactly. The trunk. Trunk. Hmm? T-R-U-N-K. Trunk.
trunk.
Trunk. Now, on the outside of the tree, you have, in Spanish, you call it la corteza.
Yes, I know that.
Do you know what this one is in English?
Yeah, bark.
Bark. Nice.
Like ladrido.
Excuse me?
Like ladrido.
Del perro.
Yeah.
Ruff, ruff. Bark. Yeah, exactly.
The same?
Yeah, it is. The same word. Correct. Bark. Yeah. Mm-hmm. B-A-R-K. Yes. But la corteza would be... bark. Mm-hmm. But what about on bread? If you say la corteza del pan, because we don't say bark in that case. Do you know? You know what we say?
Yeah, I don't know how to say that.
No, we say crust.
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 Mm.
So do you eat bread with crust or without crust?
With crust.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I like the crust.
Yeah, I like too.
I don't have a problem with crust. A lot of people in Spain are anti-crust.
Yes, yes. And I don't understand. In sliced bread, I prefer always with
crust.
Crust.
Yeah.
Crust.
Okay, so corteza can be crust on bread, or it can be bark on a tree.
That's right.
Now, what about una rama?
Una rama, a branch.
Branch. B-R-A-N-C-H, exactly, branch. Now, branch can also be, if you think of a company, like imagine, I don't know, Banco Santander, a big business, right? And then they have sucursales.
Yes.
And those in English are also called branches.
Branches.
So it's like, casi como una rama de la empresa, which there's some logic there, you see?
Yeah.
Branches, or a branch of an office. Mm-hmm. So we have the bark, we have the branch, we have the trunk, we have espina. Cuidado.
Cuidado. Espina is a thorn.
Ooh, yeah, thorn.
Thorn.
Good. They can stick into your leg or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Thorn. 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 Y tallo? If you have a flower, for example, el tallo del flor.
Oof, I don't know tallo.
This would be the stem.
Stem.
S-T-E-M, stem, stem. Y pétalo.
I don't know, pétalo.
Pétalo. Mm. Try to just take the word and make it English.
Petalish, I don't know.
Petal.
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 He's here.
Petal.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many petals are there on a rose, Tino? Do you know?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Maybe, I don't know, maybe 10?
I never count.
Me neither.
12?
I don't
know.
We don't know. Two guys here in the studio, we don't know.
Yeah.
Raíz.
Yeah, I know that. Root.
Root. Yeah, root. So you have the tree. Above, you have the trunk and the branches. And then below, you have the roots.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Semilla.
Semilla, it's seed.
Seed. S-E-E-D, seed. And what do you do with seeds if you want them to grow into other plants? Other plants. Oh.
What do I have to do?
Well, what would you do with the seed if you want to make it grow?
You have to water.
Water, plant it.
Or plant it, of course.
Plant it and then water it. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Pollen.
Pollen.
Exactly. See, that's easy. Pollen. Pollen. Pollen.
Mm-hmm.
Vaya.
Vaya, vaya.
There you go. Vaya, hombre.
I think vaya is berry.
Berry. Yeah, and we say, it's kind of like fruto seco also, right? We say strawberry, blackberry,
that's right.
Blueberry, cranberry, raspberry. These are berries. Vayas, I suppose, vaya. B-E-R-R-Y. So how did you say corteza?
Corteza, bark.
Bark. Rama?
Rama, branch.
Tronco?
Trunk.
Espina?
Thorn?
Thorn, yeah. Tallo?
Tallo, stem?
Stem.
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 Pétalo?
Petal?
Petal, yeah. Raíz?
Root.
Semilla?
Seed.
Pollen?
Pollen.
Vaya?
Berry.
Nice. Very good. So now we've got a nice base of vocabulary from the world of plants and bushes and trees.
You got it.
Nice. Well, hey, thank you, Tino.
Thank you, Kyle.
Thank you very much for your time today.
See you next time.
Great. We'll see you next time.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So that was Tino, everybody, checking in for our vocabulary section today. We do it just about every day. And, but it is time to move on. Just like that. As Harold says, Jorge Arbusto, George Bush.
Tell me a history.
Ah, no. Tell me a story. Tell me a story.
Pronunciation.
All right, everybody, it's time for today's pronunciation. And it's time to talk about the H. How are you today? Hello. Hi. Have. Because there's no throatiness with the H in English. It's more like polishing a window. Polishing my glasses. Limpiando cristales. Have. But even softer. Have. Had. He. Headache. Handsome. Henry. Hello. Hair. How are you? Okay. Harold says, my favorite letter. Now, it's not Harold. It's not Harold. It's Harold. My brother's name is Harris. H-A-R-R-I-S. Harris. Mm-hmm. Starts with an H. So we don't say Addis. We don't say Harold. Harold has hair. No, Harold has hair. He also had yesterday he had a headache. Henry had a headache. Say hello to Henry. H. So we have the H. We have to pronounce it, but it's not as hard. It's not as strong as the Spanish Jota. You know, I was filming a TV show, the Verb Circus Game Show. Do you remember that? That was a great show, right, Tino? Yeah, that was a good show. And I had a French guest on. I had a French concursante, contestant on the show. She was French, and the French, they have even a tougher time than the Spanish at pronouncing the H, like hamburger. I was eating a hamburger. Hamburger. And so the producer wanted me to get her. I had an earpiece in. I had a pinganillo, as they say in Spanish, right? Pinganillo, an earpiece. And I had all, during the show, if you're familiar with that show, you will, well, you can see it on YouTube, the Verb Circus, but the game show that I produced about 10 years ago or presented. I had an earpiece in, and the producer would talk to me and say, Kyle, you know, wait 5 seconds or go to the next section. She would be telling me certain things. We're having a technical delay. Do this, repeat this question, little things that she would want me to do. The director. And the director had a fascination with the French woman's pronunciation of the H. And they wanted to hear her say hamburger. So they said, Kyle, make her say hamburger. Can you ask her if she likes hamburgers? So I did. I said, do you like hamburgers? She said, yes, I love hamburger. So it was a little joke. It wasn't to make fun of her in any way, but it was kind of a funny something I remember about the French and their pronunciation of the letter H. Now, H is also for history. And that's relevant right now as we go back in time and take a quick look at today. I'm talking about July 7th, today in history. Today in history. Well, today was one of the most incredible historical events of the last century occurred on this day in 1969. If you believe it, some people don't. Neil Armstrong walked on the moon. So here we are with Jeff Bezos going into space for tourism purposes. But it was this day in 1969 that Neil Armstrong, American astronaut, 240,000 miles from Earth, spoke the famous words, "That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind." While stepping off the lunar module, the Eagle, he became the first human to walk on the surface of the moon. Now, the American effort to send astronauts to the moon had its origins in a famous comment by President John F. Kennedy, JFK. It was a special joint session of Congress in May of 1961. He said, "I believe this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal before this decade is out of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to Earth." At the time, the United States was still trailing the Soviet Union in the space race. In 1966, after 5 years of working with an international team of scientists and engineers, NASA, which stands for the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, conducted the first unmanned Apollo mission, testing the structural integrity of the proposed launch vehicle and spacecraft combination. Then on January 27th, 1967, tragedy struck at the Kennedy Space Center in Cape Canaveral, Florida, when a fire broke out during a test launch of the Apollo spacecraft. Three astronauts were killed in the fire. That was terrible in 1967. So it was a great setback, un retraso. But despite the setback, NASA, and they had thousands of employees, and they pushed ahead. And in October of 1968, Apollo 7, which was the first manned mission, it was the first mission with people, it orbited the Earth, and it successfully tested many of the sophisticated systems that were needed to conduct a moon journey and landing. In December of that same year, Apollo 8 took off, Despegue, taking three astronauts to the dark side, around to the back of the moon, and then coming back. And in March of 1969, Apollo 9 tested the lunar module for the first time while in Earth orbit. Then in May, the three astronauts of Apollo 10 took the first complete Apollo spacecraft around the moon, preparing for a scheduled July landing. So it was 9:23 a.m. on July 16th, with the world watching, that Apollo 11 took off from the Kennedy Space Center with Neil Armstrong, Edwin Aldrin, also known as Buzz Aldrin, and Michael Collins on board. Armstrong was 38 years old, a research pilot who was commander of the mission, and after traveling 240,000 miles in 76 hours, Apollo 11 entered the lunar orbit on July 19th. And the next day, July 20th, at 1:46 p.m., the lunar module called Eagle, which was manned by Armstrong and Aldrin, separated from the command module. Collins had to stay in the command module. And 2 hours later, the Eagle started its descent to the lunar surface. And on 4:18, the craft touched down on the southwestern edge of the Sea of Tranquility, that portion of the moon. And Armstrong immediately radioed to Mission Control in Houston, Texas, and he said, "The Eagle has landed. famous line, the eagle has landed. At 10:39, 5 hours ahead of the original schedule, Armstrong opened the hatch. La puerta. He opened the hatch of the lunar module. And he made his way down the ladder. A television camera was attached to the craft, recorded his progress, and beamed the signal, mandó el señal, back to Earth, where hundreds of millions watched in great anticipation. At 10:56 p.m., he spoke his famous quote, which he later said was slightly garbled, if you will. It was messed up by the microphone. It didn't come out the way he planned. He meant to say, "That's one small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind." Then he planted his left foot on the gray, powdery surface. He took one cautious step forward, and humankind had walked on the moon. Now, a little bit later, it was only 15 minutes later, Buzz Aldrin walked on the moon, too. Imagine, everybody hears about Armstrong, but he only beat Buzz Aldrin by 15 minutes. 11:11. Aldrin walked on the moon, and together they took photographs of the terrain. They planted a U.S. flag. They did a few tests. They spoke with the president through Houston. And by 1:11 a.m. the following day, they were back on the lunar module. The hatch was closed. They slept that night on the surface of the moon. And at 1:54 p.m., you know, they weren't really concerned with daytime, nighttime stuff. 1:54 p.m., the Eagle began its trip back to the command module. And among the items left on the moon, there was a plaque that said, "Here, men from planet Earth first set foot on the moon, July 1969. At 5:35 p.m., Armstrong and Aldrin successfully docked, and they rejoined Collins at 12:56 a.m. on July 22nd. And Apollo 11 began its journey home, safely splashing down into the Pacific Ocean on July 24th. There'd be five more successful lunar landing missions, one unplanned lunar swing by Apollo 13, and the last men to walk on the moon were Eugene Cernan and Harrison Schmitt. That was Apollo 17 in 1972. But they are planning to send more people back there, it seems, within the next few years. So we'll see